Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the Preview Spotlight covering the March 2013 previews catalog. This stuff should start hitting stores around May. You know, in these episodes, we'll be going over the items and previews that we and our listeners found of interest. So that's the our listeners part. I want to kind of stress that. We have an open submission policy for these episodes. Everybody's welcome to record clips, send them in. It's real easy to record a clip. We've got some instructions on our forum at comicbookpage.com. And basically, if you find something either in the online solicits or in previews that's coming out that you think people might enjoy, just record a short clip. Hey, there's this thing. It's by this publisher. I think it's cool because, you're, you know, whatever. I mean, you listen to the episode. You'll get a feel for what the clips sound like. And just do it, do one on something you're interested in.
Right, and you could record a clip in 5 minutes. It does. Don't feel like you have to, you know, do all kinds of production values on it and, you know, think too much about it. I mean, just speak from the heart on, like, you know, if you saw these things and you said, oh, that one looks really cool, what was your thought process and what made you come to that this is really cool decision and decide I want to get this one or I'm really excited about this one?
Yeah, because I mean, there are thousands of items in previews every month. It's real easy for something to get lost in the shuffle. I mean, when we were on the teleconference last night, I was going through the back half. I completely sailed past Red 5 Comics just because they only had the one item this month that was tucked in the corner. And, I mean, I always keep an eye out for that publisher, too. They do great work. So it's easy for people to lose sight of things or whatnot. So, you know, if it's something that ships once in a while and people might not realize it's in this previews or something, do a clip on that. It helps everybody out. It helps the creators. It helps the people who are fans of that property. It helps people who don't know about that property but might become fans of it. So, you know, we always start at the beginning and work our way to the back, so just record as individual items so we can slot them in where it's appropriate. Obviously, we're not going to cover everything. We're not going to go item by item or page by page, but just hit the highlights. But we need you guys to help pick what are the highlights. Because it'd be a shame if every time this is basically going to have what Bob likes, what I like, what Damian likes, and maybe one or two other listeners. We want a variety of things. And different people have different tastes. Different things are going to pop out of previews every month and to different people. And we want to get that diversity in these episodes. So, shall we start playing clips?
Let's dive in.
Cool.
And on page 46 from Dark Horse Comics, we have Dream Thief number 1, written by Jai Nitz and art by Greg Smallwood. After stealing an Aboriginal mask from a museum, John Lincoln realizes that the spirits of the vengeful dead are possessing his body and mind while he sleeps. His old problems have been replaced by bloody hands and the disposal of bodies. And now remembering where he spent last night has never been more important. So Bram Stoker Award winner Jai Nitz and Greg Smallwood craft this fast-paced, gritty crime drama. It's a 5-issue miniseries. And I am definitely going to be checking this one out. This sounds like it's right up my alley. 50% discount from DCBS, so the $3.99 cover price is knocked down to $1.99.
Hey guys, it's Damian here with my first pick for the month, which is on page 65 of the Dark Horse section, which is Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher. Yes, I know that sort of Poe's been brought up a bit of late, when, you know, being brought into the spotlight. We've had the Raven movie came out last year. We've got the following these days where you have a killer going around using Poe's work for his stuff. Apart from that, we have Richard Corbin, who's writing, he's doing the art, and he's doing the covers. So this is actually an adaptation of the story by Poe, which is The Fall of the House of Usher. To be honest, I read it when I probably about 20 years ago, and I've always liked Poe stuff, so this is something that I might actually pick up just to see. So it's going to be a mini-series, so it's one of two. As it says here, sickness resides in the House of Usher. Its history is cursed. Its tenets plagued by an abominable love. Yeah, how can you go wrong? This will be interesting to see how they do this from a, you know, poem, short story type thing into an actual comic. So go and check it out. As I said, it's on page 65. It's one of two, so it's not a big series, which, you know, there's not many of these days. 32 pages for $3.99. So let's go back to the guys and check out this book.
Next up on page 93 is Earth 2 Annual Number 1. Now, this is not the classic Earth 2 of Days Yore, of course. This is a brand new version of it. We're seeing some similarities, we're seeing some definite differences and stuff. But what I'm enjoying about this title is it's pretty much a standalone title. Yes, it's got some connections to World's Finest and whatnot, but if you're looking for a small isolated thing in the DC Universe, this is really one of your best bets. Starting with the first issue, or the zero issue, I guess, they've defined a whole new world here, and we're getting to explore it all together and stuff. Now, what's really cool about this 48-page annual is we get the new Batman of Earth 2. Now, we get a picture of him and stuff, and based on how he's looking, I'm wondering who this Batman's going to be. Is it going to be the Dick Grayson of Earth 2? Is it going to be the Damian Wayne of Earth 2? Is it going to be somebody else entirely? Jason Todd, Tim Drake, or somebody we've never seen before? Either way, it looks to be a potential turning point for the Earth 2 characters and the whole storyline there. And, you know, it just seems like a bunch of fun. James Robinson's doing, I think, a great job with this, you know, I don't say corner of the universe, but really this own universe he's got to play with. And it frees him up to not be tied into all of the other stuff going on the mainstream DC universe, but have the fun toys to play with, and the tie-ins where he wants them and needs them and stuff. So again, we're going to get the new Batman of Earth 2 in this annual. That's the Earth 2 annual on page 93. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. Check it out.
On page 128 from DC, we have Harlan Ellison's Seven Against Chaos hardcover. This is written by Harlan Ellison with art by Paul Chadwick. Harlan Ellison is one of science fiction's brightest luminaries, and he's joined forces with award-winning artist Paul Chadwick, creator of Concrete, and they're going to bring us this original graphic novel that is singular, powerful, and unpredictable. Yeah, so says the solicit. I'm going to believe it, mostly because of the caliber of the creators that we've got involved in this one. This extraordinary odyssey of mystery and adventure will take you to the rim of reality and beyond. In a distant future, Earth is in grave danger. The fabric of reality itself is unraveling, leading to catastrophic natural disasters, displaced souls appearing from bygone eras, and sudden, shocking cases of spontaneous combustion. The only hope for Earth's survival is a force of seven warriors, each with his or her own special ability. But can these alien seven samurai learn to get along in time to find the source of the gathering chaos and save all reality? 208-page hardcover, $24.99 normal price, but it's 50% off through DCBS, which would make it $12.49. That's a great deal for a 208-page hardcover, especially from the kind of creators that we've got here, Harlan Ellison and Paul Chadwick. This one's a no-brainer for me. I'm absolutely going to be buying this and looking forward to getting it in July.
Hi, this is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast with my first pick of the month. It is on page 145 of previews from DC Comics, Masters of the Universe, The Origin of Hordak, number one. Now this I am recommending for one reason alone, because it is written by Keith Giffen and Brian Keene. Oh yeah, there's two reasons. And art and cover by Keith Giffen and Scott Koblish. One look at the cover solicit here, which is not the final cover, a pencil. Looks like a pencil version of the cover. I saw that and I said, whoa, that is a Keith Giffen cover. Completely in Keith Giffen's new Kirby-esque style that he used on OMAC and in recent DC properties. So I'm getting this for the pretty much for the art and the, I'm guessing, throwback storytelling by Giffen. How does one go about becoming a demigod, and what the heck is a demigod anyway? These questions and more will be answered. Travel to the distant past and learn how the old gods died and how Hordak went from being a conqueror of the cosmos to something very like a god. Total throwback to Kirby-esque goodness, so I'm completely looking forward to this, even though I know nothing of Hordak. But I will soon find out. So if you're into OMAC or some of Giffen's more recent works, I'm sure this is something you must get, like I must get. Check out the preview cover art there on 145.
Next up on page 161 is Doomsday Point One Number One. This is another four-issue limited series by John Byrne. The basic premise here is that, well, we dodged a bullet on the end of, I guess it was the Mayan calendar, the Incan calendar, whatever, that said the world was going to end at the end of 2012 and stuff. Well, in this world, it just about did. We've got seven people on the International Space Station who get to watch in horror as a monster solar flare nearly wipes out the entire planet. Of course, they've got no choice but to go back down to Earth and see what remains. This is a $3.99 comic, 32 pages. John Byrne's been doing a lot of four-issue miniseries lately. He usually has a good beginning, middle, and an end. And, you know, if you like his writing and his art, which I do, definitely worth checking out. Once again, that's on page 161, Doomsday Point One, Number One. And we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. Check it out. Next up on page 167 is Star Trek 21 from IDW. Now, I've been a big fan of what IDW's been doing with Star Trek over the years, and particularly what they've been doing tying in with the new series of movies. Now, this is another story overseen by Roberto Orci, who is the writer-producer of the movies, and this says it's going to pick up where the movie leaves off. And the integration between what they've been doing in the comics and what they've been doing in the movies, I've just been amazed by. In the first movie, the whole fireside chat that old Spock has with the new Kirk, basically saying how he got to where he was, that was all taken out of the Countdown miniseries they did leading up to that Star Trek movie. So when they say they're going to integrate it in, they're not kidding. This series of comics and stuff, the ongoing Star Trek stuff, has been telling kind of some background stories on some of the crew, and retelling the events or what happened in place of, I guess, particular issues of the original series. They did a Trouble with Tribbles, and it was reminiscent of, but clearly not identical to, the original Trouble with Tribbles. So they're just having a lot of fun. They're reimagining the Star Trek universe, and I think doing just a great job with it. This is another $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Definitely worth checking out. Once again, that's Star Trek 21 on page 167.
Hi guys, it's Damien back again with my next pick for the month, which is on page 190 of the image section, and it's one I think that if people haven't talked about, they're going to be talking about, is going to be 10 grand. Story by JMS, and yes, I'm not going to say his name because I know I will butcher it up, and the art and cover is done by Ben Templesmith, and that's what actually caught my eye more than JMS first up, and the variant covers by Bill Sienkiewicz. And I know that I butchered his name up. Okay. This is about a mob enforcer who literally he's got to do one last job. You know, he's getting paid to do one last job and then he's out of it. And bad things come to worse. Someone else gets killed. His girlfriend or wife at the time gets killed. And as he's laying there dying himself, an angelic force comes to him and says, look, if you do hits for us, then, you know, every time you die, that will actually bring you back. But when you die and we get to bring you back, there'll be 5 minutes you can spend with Laura. So this is all about the story of, is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? And so the last person he had to kill was an actual demonologist. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. If you're looking in previews itself, so on page 190, it goes through actually quite a few screens there for it, of a couple, you know, pages there for the book itself. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. But, you know, Temple Smith's drawing it, you can't go wrong there. And, you know, JMS has always been good. As long as he doesn't go overboard or just doesn't come back to the book, I'll be happy. But yeah, I'm going to be checking this one out, definitely. So it's 32 pages, $2.99. And yeah, let's go back to Bob and John.
On page 194, we've got The Bounce number 1 by Joe Casey with art by David Messina. Meet the ultimate slacker superhero for the 21st century. Jasper Jenkins is a superhead and a superhero. He's relatable and reliable, and he's embarking on the adventure of a lifetime, the sensational debut of the new feel-good hero of the decade. You can't afford to miss it. Well, I'm liking the sample pages of art that they're showing us on pages 195, 196, and 197 of the previews catalog. I've liked what I've read by Joe Casey before, and this one is looking like it could be a quite a fun superhero book, and given that it's going to be standalone, I can read this and not have to worry about a lot of baggage or crossovers or anything else getting in the way and just enjoy it, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to be watching for this in May. We've got a 50% discount on this at DCBS. That's $1.49, which is half off the $2.99 cover price. Coming to you at the end of May. And on page 198 from Image, we've got The Dream Merchant, number 1 of 6, a story by Nathan Edmondson, art and cover by Konstantin Novosadov. And this is going to be a double-sized first issue. It's 350, but we're getting 52 pages. It's probably not 52 pages of story, but probably more like about 40, 44 pages. Still a double-sized first issue, 50% off through DCBS, so that would make it $1.75. And what we have here is haunted by recurring dreams. A boy named Winslow is hunted by mysterious beings and protected by an old traveler. Soon, Winslow will realize that what is in his dreams is what the rest of the world has been made to forget. And what strange entities will stop at nothing to erase these things from his mind. Nice art. And I'm a big fan of the Who is Jake Ellis and Where is Jake Ellis series that Nathan Edmondson has written. So I'm definitely going to be giving this one a try. Hopefully this will be another great miniseries from Nathan. And the art seems to match the story content pretty nice. So there's 4 sample pages at 1/4 size on page 199 of the previews catalog. Give it a look and try this one out if it looks interesting. This is the kind of thing that I like to see from Image. It's something that's different from everything else I'm reading, so that's what I like about it.
Next up on page 12 of the Marvel previews is Superior Spider-Man number 9. Now, this is written by Dan Slott. Let me just read the solicitation. It ends here. Superior no more. The hottest comic in comics comes to a turning point that will get you angrier than you were after reading Spidey 700. The time has come to see who will live, who will die, and who will emerge as the one, true, superior Spider-Man. Now, when Dan Slott has a, hey, this is going to be a big deal kind of an issue, particularly on Spider-Man over the last couple of months to a year, he's not kidding. Amazing Spider-Man 698... definite big issue on what was going on in Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 700, huge, huge turning point. Given what they've been doing in the Superior Spider-Man that I've read so far, which I'm only up to issue 4, I think 5 just came out as I'm recording this. I'm looking forward to this. They've set some seeds for this. I think a lot of it was, yeah, eventually they were going to do certain things just because it's comics. I mean, there are certain things they're going to backpedal on, certain things they're not going to backpedal on. But with this, it looks like they're going to either hit a turning point a lot faster than I was originally expected, or throw us completely for a loop and be playing with our expectations for what we think is going to happen and say, no, just kidding, we're sticking with this, or going in another direction, or, you know, whatever. Dan Slott has really been pulling out all the stops and doing some very interesting and, frankly, very controversial Spider-Man stories these days. And I think he's telling good stories, and he's kind of doing what Kirkman's kind of famous for over on The Walking Dead, of knowing what readers are expecting, leading them down a certain path to either, yeah, I'm going that way, or no, I'm really not, and then just a left turn. So we'll see if we get that. We'll see if we get a double reverse, or who knows what happens here, and if it really is the true turning point of Superior Spider-Man that we're being promised. I'm hoping it's just an entertaining read and, you know, continues to be going down both the expected and the unexpected paths in a very entertaining manner. I think what they're doing with Spider-Man right now is kind of re-energizing it and going for the anything-can-happen aspect, which I really appreciate and enjoy. So once again, that's Superior Spider-Man number 9. That's on page 12 of the Marvel Previews, and we've got a 50% discount through DCBS on it, so check it out. Next up on page 37 of the Marvel Previews is Fantastic Four number 8. And once a year, the Thing is now able to return to his human form. And this year, he's going to go home again as Ben Grimm. Was Yancey Street really like he thought back in the day? And based on how the solicitation's written, it almost sounds like he's literally going back in time to Yancey Street. And we may see the ever-loving Thing from back in the day in parallel with the current Ben Grimm, which could be a lot of fun. Sounds like we're also going to have a subplot in this issue with Franklin and Val and some turning points in their relationship and some definite sibling rivalry there. And that's one of the fun parts of the Fantastic Four mythos these days, is just the how those two kids interact both with the Fantastic Four and with each other. I think Hickman really turned Valeria into just a fascinating character. And of course, other writers had done great work with her before, but it's turned the quartet really into a team of six in, you know, a very real way and a very fun way. We got art by Mark Bagley, which is just outstanding to look forward to. He's doing a great job and stuff there. Always enjoy his work. So, once again, Fantastic Four number 8 looks to be a more quiet personal issue where we actually get some character moments and stuff, which should be fun. That's on page 37 of the Marvel Previews, and we got a 50% discount on it, so check it out.
Hey guys, this is Damian back with my last pick for the month, all the way on page 241, coming from Antarctic Press. Now, this is a book, to be honest, I don't know anything about, I've never seen before. I was caught by the cover. Literally, that is what's caught me here, and it is Macabre number 1, the story and arts by Richard Moore. So this is Richard Moore bringing a comedy aspect back to good old horror, which, you know, to me reminds me of, you know, some of the stuff that came out in the 60s, the Vault of Horror type stuff, which had that little comedy vibe in there. And all I'm going on is the cover there. So you've got, you know, the sexy witch, it seems, there with all the zombies at her feet. So, hey, I'll check this out. This looks interesting there. So if you haven't seen it before, or if you know more about it, hit me up on Twitter, tell me what you think about it, or what you know about it, or what you know about Richard Moore's style, so if it's something more that I'm interested in or not. But to be honest, you know, I'm literally looking at this one going, yeah, that looks interesting, let's check that one out. So it is going to be, it's a black and white book, but it's going to be 350, 32 pages. So check it out on page 241.
On page 251 from Archie Comics, we've got the Archie 1,000-page comic digest. Archie and the gang have been entertaining readers of all ages since the massively popular debut over 70 years ago. For the first time ever, over 1,000 pages of classic Archie tales have been collected in this one amazing volume at a fantastic value price. That value price is $14.99 for 1,024 pages. This is 50% off through DCBS, so that will make it $7.49 for over 1,000 pages of comics. I have not regularly read Archie comics for a long time. I've dabbled in them, but, you know, for $7.50 for 1,024 pages of classic Archie, I cannot pass this up. Follow America's favorite redhead as he navigates the pressures of the American teenager in the awkward, charming, and hilarious way you've come to know and love. Whether he's juggling dates with girl next door Betty and rich girl Veronica, competing with the prankster rival Reggie, or just hanging out with his best bud Jughead, Archie's always a delight. And if you've never read an Archie comic before in your life, hey, you're going to get a great sampling here for not much money. If you read Archie when you were younger, if you're reading Archie now, this for me, again, this is something that I can't pass up. You know, it's $7.50, but I'm going to get a huge, thick volume of Archie stories, and I'm really looking forward to this one. Definitely, it's 5 by 7 inches, so it's about the size of a digest. Not massive, but it's going to be thick. 1,024 pages. Give it a try. Page 251 of the previews catalog.
This is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast with my next pick on page... Well, it starts on page 268 and spans a few pages. It's the new books, two new books from Black Mask Studios. Now, Black Mask Studios, here I'll read it, is the new comics publisher from Steve Niles, Matt Pizzolo, and Brett Gerzowitz, who is the singer of Bad Religion. This is a company, so they're bringing out two issues this month, and they're, here, let's see. The key thing we're really about is trying to expand the comics market, and we're going to do it by putting our faith into bold creators and supporting them without any restrictions of genre or any editorial micromanaging, says Steve Niles. I'm really fascinated by this, especially since I'm a fan of both Steve Niles and Bad Religion and Brett's work. The first book they're bringing out is 12 Reasons to Die, from written by Ghostface Killah. This is a brutal tale of gangsters, betrayal, and one vengeful soul hunting the 12 dons who conspired his murder. This should be very interesting. I don't know a lot about Ghostface Killah's work with the Wu-Tang Clan, but as I understand it, he is a master storyteller in his lyrics, so this should be an interesting one. And certainly if Niles and Brett are putting their faith in this property, especially as one of the first books of their the new line, certainly worth checking out. See what this is all about. The next book they're bringing out is on page, let me flip ahead here. It's on page 274, Occupy Comics. Occupy Comics brings together more than 50 comic pros to discuss and document the themes, goals, and ideals of the Occupy movement while also raising funds to support it. With a roster spanning from legends like Alan Moore, David Lloyd, Charlie Adlard, etc., etc., it is a once-in-a-lifetime coalition of independent creatives using sequential art to record history as it's being made. So a more political bent to that one. Certainly the list of creators is very, very impressive. Definitely something to check out there, especially if you're into politically or just the creators. I mean, the top-notch creators that are involved. I'm excited to see what this new company comes up with and what they're all about, so I'm going to definitely check these two books out.
On page 279 from Boom Studios, we've got Suicide Risk number 1, written by Mike Carey with art by Elena Casagrande. Superpowered people are inexplicably rising from the streets, and there's a big problem. Too many supervillains and not enough superheroes. Heroes are dying, cops are dying twofold. Humanity is underpowered and good people are suffering untold tragedies trying to stem the flow. Beat cop Leo Winters is one of these struggling to make a difference. The answer just might come in the form of two low lives with a dark secret. Now, Mike Carey is known for writing X-Men for a long time. He's writing The Unwritten at Vertigo. In his past, he's written such books as Lucifer for Vertigo, and he's done a run on Hellblazer. He's done some really great stuff, and I'm definitely looking forward to this one. There's an interview with Mike talking about suicide risk on page 278, and one of the things he says about this book is that he wanted to do a book about the emergence of superpowers, and he wanted to do something original and unexpected with the situation. It's a world with big superhero, supervillain community, and there are hundreds of powers. But the overriding factor that's key to everything is that the supervillains outnumber the heroes dozens to one. There's a reason for it, and it's central to what he's doing with this book. And that when he was on the X-Men books, he had a lot of themes and things that he wanted to build on, but in this book, he can explore a lot of those things, but with the additional freedoms that he gets from not being in a shared continuity owned by someone else. So I'm looking forward to it. I really enjoyed what Mike Carey has done at Vertigo, and seeing him get a chance to do a book of his own is going to be very exciting. So this is another one, 50% discount. It's a $3.99 book. You can get it for $1.99 through DCBS. Give it a try. Page 279 of the previews catalog.
Hi, this is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast. My next pick is on page 318 from First Second Comics. Now, I'm pointing this one out for two reasons. One, when I first read the solicit, I didn't realize who the creator was, and it sounded interesting to me. And then I noticed the creator was Matt Kent, and I said, oh, that's probably why it sounds interesting to me. The second reason is when I was going through my list, I jot down the books I'm interested in on a little pad of paper. When I was going through the list, I came across the title, and I was like, what in the world book is that? And then I had to look it up in previews and said, oh, that's that Matt Kent book again. So he got me twice on this one. It's called Red Handed, The Fine Art of Strange Crimes. It's a hardcover from First Second. It says, welcome to the city of Red Wheelbarrow, where the world's greatest detective has yet to meet the crime he can't solve. Every criminal Red Wheelbarrow was caught and convicted thanks to blah, blah, blah. But lately there has been a rash of crimes so eccentric and random that even the detective ghoul is stumped. Will he discover the connection between the compulsive chair thief, the novelist who uses purloined street signs to write her magnum opus, and the photographer who secretly documents people's most anguished personal moments, or has Detective Gould finally met his match? Very interesting. Matt Kent has come into the limelight with his recent work on DC, on Frankenstein. He also has a top-rated book from Dark Horse, I believe, Mind Management. Previous to that, he did Super Spy and several other spy books, so this detective book is certainly in his wheelhouse. His art is always top-notch, his storytelling is always top-notch, so this should be really good. It's a hardcover, 272 pages, so it's pretty big. I don't know how he found the time to do this, doing the writing and art. I don't know if this is something he had in his back pocket, or if he's been doing this while he's been doing his other work, but the man is certainly very prolific indeed. So check it out from First Second Comics. This is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast with my next pick on page 339, and I'm going to do another sneak and put two in one here. From Picture Box Books. The first is Mare graphic novel by C.F. Now, C.F. did, I don't remember the name of it. Oh, there it was, Power Masters. He did a couple books called, he has a series called Power Masters, which are some graphic novels. This is, An interesting concept. So it says, in 2002, CF began to produce a series of more than a dozen mini-comics, which he distributed via Twitter. Each mini-comic offered a take an expansion on a classic comic strip genre, from crime to sci-fi to punk, all of them fused by CF's absurdist humor and loose improvisational style of drawing, which is all true. Less than 50 copies of each mini-comic were printed. Needless to say, they sold out instantly. They're collected here for the first time. I don't follow CF on Twitter, so I was not aware of these mini-comics, and which is probably a good thing, because I probably would have wanted them and would have been disappointed had I not been able to get them. So now here we have this collection of these 50 mini... not 50 mini-comics. Of these mini-comics. CF has a very... almost simplistic looking style, very, very loose style. I have not seen any of these mini comics, so I don't know what to expect, but I enjoy CF's work, so I'll be checking this out for sure. The next book is right below it, on page 339, Walrus by Brandon Graham. Now, Brandon Graham is one of my personal favorite creators. He did King City and, more recently, multiple Warheads from Image? Oni? I can't remember who's currently publishing it. This appears to be an art book, a Brandon's art book. So, beloved for his graffiti and inflected science fiction comics. Oh, he's also writing Prophet, that's right. Brandon Graham has developed a punny, humorous, and sexy universe. Blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Walrus, Graham's first art book, collects drawings and sketchbook comics spanning 2009 through 2012 and allows readers a glimpse into his creative process and obsessions. I'm guessing a lot of the stuff in here has appeared or is similar to what has appeared on his blog, where he posts things he's interested in, drawings he's done, inspirations, or his takes on inspirations of his. Basically, if you're a fan of Brandon Graham's art, or Brandon Graham's work, this is a nice hardcover, 8x10 hardcover, 136 pages of his work. So obviously if you're a fan, you'd be interested in picking this up. I am a fan of his work, so I am interested in picking it up.
And on page 345 from Titan Comics, we've got Kronos Commandos Dawn Patrol number 1, written and drawn by Stuart Jeanette. This one has got the concept of when the Allies and Nazis develop time-diving technology that could see the course of World War II derailed by creatures from the Cretaceous period, only the Sarge and his band of misfit soldiers can save the future by saving history. Dinosaurs, giant crocodiles, time travel, Nazis, Albert Einstein with a machine gun. This has got everything. This is issue number 1 of a 5-issue miniseries, $3.99. We get a 45% discount on this book from DCBS. This looks like just the kind of fun time travel romp that I love. I always like soldiers and dinosaurs. And when you throw in Nazis and Albert Einstein with a machine gun, how can you go wrong on this one? I'm absolutely going to be trying this one out from Titan Comics. Give it a try.
This is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast with my final pick of the month, and probably one of the final picks of this episode, since it's almost at the very, very last page, or close to. It is on page 457. It is not a comic, but a comic mug. It is the Black Jack comic mug from Tezuka Productions. Basically, it is a coffee mug with panels from Tezuka's famous comic Black Jack on it. It's $19.99. I'm sure you can find it online for cheaper. I personally love drinking out of comic mugs, or mugs featuring comic characters. I'm a fan of Tezuka. I'm a fan of Blackjack. So I will enjoy drinking out of this wonderful mug.
So what's the damage like for you this time around, Bob?
Not that bad, although it's $445, and I jumped up right near the end because I noticed there was this Edgar Rice Burroughs Tarzan Sunday comics that from Dark Horse, and it was $125. And when I originally looked at it, you know, I'm looking at it and it's like, okay, it's 120 pages and it says it's a hardcover 17 inches by 10 inches. And I'm like, man, that doesn't make a lot of sense. How is it 7 by 10 inches? That's pretty small, you know, for what it is. And then what it turns out when I dug into this a little bit on the internet, that is a mistake in the solicit. It is actually, because it says, beautifully restored and printed a giant size. It is actually giant size. So think of like, you know, kind of, I don't know if it's completely as big as an artist edition, but I think it's more like 17 inches as opposed to 7 inches, you know, but it's supposed to be a big hardcover reproducing the restored Sunday comics. So when you look at it that way, it's about $1 a page at full retail for these Hal Foster. And Hal Foster, in my opinion, is one of the masters of art. You know, it's just I love his Prince Valiant strip. So seeing what he did on Tarzan at the same size, and the way it was explained on one forum that I found out on the internet when I was searching for it is, you know, this is from the Sunday comics in the newspaper. It's supposed to be printed at like the full original size of what a Sunday comic in the newspaper was, which, you know how big a newspaper page is. So,
oh yeah, those things are huge.
You know, so it's supposed to be pretty big, you know, and it's like, I can't, you know, where else am I going to be able to go and find a 1931, you know, color comic strip of Tarzan anywhere else? It's not going to happen. So paying $1 a page for that, you know, that would be good. But DCBS has that for 50% off. So it's $62.50. So I can get those for about 50 cents a page. And to me, that's a good deal. I'll be trying it out. But, you know, it kind of popped my order up from about $380 to $440. But we'll see when I get it. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Cool.
Other than that, I got, you know, what do I have about, I have to go to the bottom of the DCBS spreadsheet to see how many total items I've got. 106 line items on here. So, you know, I've got a couple of hardcovers, but not that many this time. It's mostly issues.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any DC Archives or Marvel Masterworks this time around. I'm getting to the point in Marvel Masterworks that, you know, it's stuff that it's long after I was reading the stuff off the rack. So the kind of, you know, more getting into the Bronze Age, the luster's kind of falling off of, you know, paying $35 even at half off. You know, these are like $70 volumes. I'm kind of closing it out on a lot of those things.
Yeah.
So it's mostly comics. You know, I'm getting a few over 100 comics this month.
I'm getting about close to twice that many comics. I'm getting a couple of hardcovers and trades this time around, though. Getting that Harlan Ellison 7 Against Chaos. Getting that Crisis on Multiple Earths Volume 6 trade paperback. That has some of my favorite JLA-JSA crossovers. I've been double dipping on that series of trades, but I really like those JLA-JSA crossovers.
I love those too. I wish they'd do them in hardcover though.
I'm fine with the trades. I prefer it at the cheaper cost. And then when we were going through the teleconference and stuff, going through things, I noticed the Pacific Rim Premier hardcover, which looks like a lot of fun. Of basically, you know, giant robot to go fight giant monsters and stuff. So, not quite the whole Power Rangers Super Sentai stuff, but more of a, I guess, I don't want to say realistic take on it, because that's kind of ludicrous, but you get the idea. And those are really the only kind of big-ticket items. Almost everything else I've got is just, you know, regular comics and stuff.
So. Yeah, I'm getting that seven against Chaos also. But I don't have, like I said, I don't have that many big ticket items this time around. You know, I usually have more. And yeah, it's kind of good. We kept my total, you know, relatively lower with the exception of that big Tarzan book. But that one just looks cool. You know, again, getting some Sunday comic sized reprints, it's just, there's not another way to get a hold of those, really.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
It's like, I can't go. Like, I guess I could. There's got to be some market if you researched it, but just finding old newspapers from the 30s, I can't imagine you're going to get those things for a dollar, you know?
No, really, your only other choice would be to go to a really good library and look at them there.
Yeah, you know, on some, you know, microfilm or computer viewer or something.
Yeah. Now, my total's right now around $482, $83 with a couple of things still in the maybe category. And again, the vast majority of that, other than the couple of the Trader hardcover two that I mentioned, are all just individual comics. But like, I'm getting the Valiant bundle that DCBS is still doing, so that's giving me a 50% discount compared to the normal 35% they offer for the Valiant stuff.
Right, and I'm on board for that too. I love the fact that we get that each month. And, you know, also in Valiant, just as a note for people who have not tried out Valiant yet, they've got the dollar versions of the number ones of all five of their series. And there's a bundle of those also. You can just order all five of those in one bunch. But boy, if you haven't tried out the Valiant titles, just checking out those first issues for a buck a piece, that might be a good way to just see if you like any of those series. But we're both really loving everything that they've done so far.
Yeah, yeah. I think checking out the first issues is a great way to sample it, and Valiant's doing some great work. One thing I'd recommend if you're a DCBS customer and you use the spreadsheet and they've got these bundles, what I've taken to doing is for, you know, I put the one in the slot for the bundle, but for all the ones that are in the bundle, I put a zero and then change the color of that cell in that quantity column to have like a blue background or something. That way I've got, I can filter by anything that's not blank. Those items still show up, but they show up in a way that I know that I've kind of already got them as part of the bundle. And part of the reason I do that, and I don't always do it, I skip doing it one month. I wound up this past week getting two copies of one of the X books. I think it was Uncanny X-Men. I forget which one it was. Because I'd gotten the one from the bundle, and I'd gotten the regular one. Yeah, it was Uncanny X-Force number 2 that I'd accidentally ordered two of that way. Because when I was going through and zeroing out what was in the bundle, I just missed one. So, to me, that's more of an issue on the Marvel and DC bundles, which can have, you know, a few dozen items in it, than like the Valiant, which just has the handful.
Right.
But it makes sense to do. I wish they would just kind of set the spreadsheet up that way to begin with.
Yeah, I do a similar thing. I just kind of, the rows for the things that are in the Valiant bundle, I bold and change the color of the text. I make it kind of a dark blue color, bolded on
same
those
idea.
Rows. Yeah, same essential thing. But you know, that getting that extra 15%, hey, it's nice because I'm buying all those books anyway, so may as well get the bundle. The only thing that it does do is it takes away my choice on what cover I can get.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for the extra 15%, it's like, oh well, you know, I might have wanted to get the pull box cover or something, but you know, what the heck, I'll take the regular one and save a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I'm not all that big into the variant covers and so forth, so it's not that big of a deal for me. But yeah, there are a couple of interesting things. Like I said, there's a couple items that are still on the wait and see category for me, like some of the G.I. Joe ones. I got to decide if I want to kind of get into that franchise or not. And one or two that I'm just waiting for the first issues to see if I like. But it's, for me, somewhere going to be around the usual, you know, close to $500 range.
A lot of good stuff, you know. I've been trimming my list down. I've been hovering monthly between around 100 to 110 comics now. That's where I've kind of dialed in at a steady state. for the last few months.
And are you able to keep up on your reading?
Yep. At that level, I'm able to keep up on my reading because I get about 25 books a week, and I can read. I mean, if I just sit down for a couple hours in an evening, I can read, you know, 10, 15 books easy in a couple of hours. So, I mean, if I just read a couple of days a week, or even if I read, you know, 1 hour a day a few other times, it's just, it's very easy for me to keep up on my reading that way.
Cool. Good stuff. I'm getting to where, since I get my comics on Fridays, I try to do most of my reading over the weekend. That way, if it's a busy work week, I've got it all kind of squared away.
Ah, you and your, you guys and your getting comics on Friday business. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I can understand that. Because normally I would do it on the weekends before, but it would be, you know, the weekend kind of after or whatever,
right.
Versus the...
That's where I'm at, is I'm late on a lot of stuff, just because, I mean, I don't get it until Tuesday. It's just that extra little bit. I mean, it just it translates into like a four day delay, you know, because the delivery services don't deliver on Saturday. I don't get it. You know, obviously they don't deliver on Sunday either. And then Monday they choose not to deliver because they've got all kinds of stuff that was shipped next day on Friday that needs to go out. So, you know, even though my books are physically 3 miles from my house at some delivery facility, they don't come on Monday because the Monday deliveries get put on the truck and I get it on Tuesday.
Do you not have the option of just having them hold it there at that station and picking
nope.
it up?
Nope. Because they process them, and they're all I've called about that before. They're like palletized when they get in, and you know they're not like sitting around for them to give it to you. They have them all packed.
Sucks to be you.
Yep.
It's one of those things, though. For me, they come Friday afternoons, and there are a couple of times I'm able to actually get across town from work to the UPS store where they get delivered. And like this yesterday, because we're recording this on Saturday, the shipment had like just gotten there, like moments before I pulled in. It's like, well, as long as I'm not waiting, I'm happy. So kind of funny.
I guess that would be the, you know, possible option is if I had a post office box at a UPS store, you know, then maybe it would be, you know, at that UPS, you know, that is near a hub for them. They would have the books, and it would be, I would be able to pick them up on Monday or something, you know, but.
I've had times I've picked stuff up from the FedEx, you know, office where they do the loading of the trucks and stuff. So but you just need to tell them kind of a little bit ahead of time that that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So. Anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
Does it for me?
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.